Good morning, everyone. This is our Sunday before Christmas. Why don't we stand together and let's just sing some Christmas carols and praise to our Savior.
Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Boy, this is a season to be excited, isn't it? Amen. Excited about the birth of our Savior. I'm going to ask you, you can be seated right now as we are just going to say a prayer over the service. And so, Lord, we ask right now that you would just anoint all that happens here today. Lord, we pray that those that are watching via the internet, those that are here in this sanctuary, no matter who it may be today, Lord, may we feel your presence in this place. Lord, we ask right now that you, Lord, would reign over all. And we ask right now that you would just touch our hearts today. Don't let us leave here the same as we came. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap one more time. Amen. 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 I want to welcome those that are watching online and welcome those of you who may be here today as a guest. If you're a guest, we want to say welcome. Thanks for coming to be a part of service today. And we'd ask that you would reach into the seat back in front of you and you'll find this card that says we're glad you're here. And you would fill that out and put it in the offering bag that will pass in just a little bit. That would help us to have a record of your attendance and would help us as we just know that you came to be a part of us today. And once again, we thank you. We thank you for being here. Speaking of thank yous, thank you to all of you who once again helped us a week ago from this last weekend at the Christmas in the Hood Christmas Outreach. Thank you so much for all that you did. If you made a shoebox, we say thank you for taking the time, not only invest time, but also finances into making that shoebox. Maybe you came and you helped us cook cookies or made hot dogs or made French fries, or maybe you served by being a guide and helping people walk around, or maybe you helped out in the parking lot guiding cars and all of that. As I said last week, we made about, I think, 1,600 hot dogs, about 1,400 cookies, and they gave away hundreds of gifts, along with a long waiting list of people they couldn't get through because of the social distancing that they gave away this week. And so I know that over 1,000 kids received a gift through this outreach, and to that may the Lord be given all the glory. Amen. 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 Well, I hope that not only through our outreaches, but maybe through other things that God's given you an opportunity, I hope that this season really has, and it continues to be, a season of giving, and that you found a way to give, whether it be your time, whether it may be through a note or a phone call or a card, that you've given out to others, because that's really what this is about, right? Not receiving, but giving. And so I want to give you a few announcements. Tonight, we do not have evening service, and we do not have Wednesday service this coming up Wednesday, the 23rd, before Christmas. We ask that you would be with your family, and so we will not have evening services or activities this Wednesday. But we'd like you to get prepared for the 21-day fast. January 1st to the 21st, as a church, we're going to fast and pray and ask for the Lord to make 2021 the best year that we've ever had here at Noble Assembly. And how many of you know that prayer works? Amen? Amen. Amen. So I want to challenge you to be thinking about what you could fast. Maybe it's a social media. Maybe it's some type of dietary fast, staying away from sweets. I could use that, let me tell you. Not till after Christmas, though, Pastor. Not till after Christmas. Maybe it'll be something else the Lord will put on your heart, but want to challenge every person in this room and those that are watching to be a part of our 21-day fast. And I think the more people involved, the stronger the effect, and the more that God can move as we cry out to Him. And so want to challenge you for that. Hey, we still need some people to sign up for our live nativity. We still need some angels. I see some angels out there. See some not so angels. No, I'm teasing. See some angels out. See some wise men. See some wise guys. We can convert wise guys to wise men. And we need some shepherds and things like that. So if you'll look out on the table in the foyer, you'll see the days. We're doing it tonight, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. And you'll see the spots that still need to be filled. And so if you sign up for those nights, here's what we need you to do. All that is required is that you be here at 6:30 on the evening that you sign up for, so that you'll meet here at the church. You'll get your costume on, all right? And then we will do the live nativity on that night from 7 to 9. So basically, you're signing up for about a 2.5-hour commitment. And if everybody would sign up, or we get enough people, we won't have one or a group of people having to do multiple nights. Everybody can be a part of the outreach. And it's a great event. It's a great outreach. Our community loves it. And if you drove by the corner this morning, you saw that everything's set up and ready for people to drive through and see it. And so we'd love for you to be a part of that. And so if you sign up, 6:30 on your night, and then it'll be from 7 to 9 on the corner, okay? And then January 10th through the 11th, we're going to have evangelist Lynn Wheeler here, and he'll be doing a tremendous job. Don't want to miss that. And then if you have a young person, one last announcement. If you have a young person, we are, against my better judgment, going to attempt another year of New Year's Eve lock-in. And so from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., I'm going to hang out with about 150 or so young people. And if your young person would like to be a part of that, we're going to be ice skating, we're going to be playing sports, we may be doing the jump zone thing, we're working on a couple other details, pizza, we'll have a service, worship, and a message, and all that. And it's $25 for kids, but they need to sign up on the sheet back there and get a medical release form in the case that there would be an injury or something, so that we can make sure they get taken care of in that way. I will tell you this, I've been doing this a lot of years, and only injury I know of that's ever happened was me. I got a concussion going a little too hard on the ice skating rink. And I don't remember that year. No, seriously, I don't remember. I had somebody else. It was bad enough. I had somebody else drive the rest of the evening, Pastor. That's true. What was not here while I was in Noble, but so every year we get to the ice skating rink, and Kelly says, "You sure you want to do this?" And I said, "Are you sure you want me to do this?" And I still do it. So, all right, we're going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 I've had several of you ask where I get my jackets. I get them at Walmart. Most of you told me to take them back. So, all right, let's pray over the tithe and offering. Lord, we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do in and through us. Lord, we thank you for the season of giving, Lord, where we can give a word of encouragement, a time of prayer, a card, or just in any other way that you enable us to. Lord, we pray that our giving would honor you, and we ask that you bless it all. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go back into worship at this time.
Offering plate passes by, please feel free to stand up. Heard about it, but Venus and Saturn are going to align, and Jupiter, Saturn. See, I know I get it wrong, and that's what happened when Jesus was born. The two aligned, and that makes a pretty star. It's going to happen Monday night. So everybody, go out, look up in the sky, and check it out. I think it's been 800 years since it showed up at night. So what an amazing thing! I think God has wonderful things planned for His church in 2021. I think that is just one of the signs that He has for us, that to look up and don't lose faith.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and storm with his hand. Did you know
Praise His holy name. Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas to you. We have several needs we want to pray about this morning. I want to mention to you, Daryl Kane passed away this week. We want to remember his wife, Sheila, and his daughter, Kim, and her husband, Lance. So keep them in your prayers. Steve and Shelly Tyler still seriously battling COVID, especially Shelly. As you know, she already has a compromised immune system. So we want to lift up Steve and Shelly. The good news is Mark Fitzgerald, that we've been praying for, is off of the ventilator. However, he still is in a great need of healing. There's still a long way to go, but he is off of the vent. So that's good news. My dad is doing much better. Thank you for your prayers for him. Also, about 2 o'clock yesterday, Al Loyable passed away. Al attends First Assembly here in Norman, and his sister-in-law, Peggy Wright, was a part of our church before they moved down south. So let's remember the Loyable family. Matt Caldwell has tested positive with COVID, and he's not feeling well this morning. Bonita Carlin's father-in-law is very ill and needs our prayers. And then Ralph and Elena's brother-in-law, Ken Esadua, possibly had a stroke. So we want to pray for these this morning. Do you have someone in your family that you know that needs the Lord's touch and healing? Amen. Well, I know there's many. There's many others we could have remembered this morning, and we certainly will remember as the Lord knows their name. Let's pray together. Father, we lift up all these needs to you, even those that we did not mention that are just as much in need today and just as much on our hearts. We just pray for them right now. And we do pray for the Kane family and the Loyable family. Lord, we just pray that you would comfort them this morning in the passing of this loved one. We pray for Shelly and Steve and all those affected by the COVID, Matt. Lord, we just pray that you just touch these today, Lord. We just thank you, Father God, for hearing the prayers regarding Mark. And we just pray that you continue to touch him. Thank you for touching Dad, Lord. We pray for Matt Caldwell, Bonita Carlin, father-in-law, and for Ken. We just pray that you would just touch these this morning. Lord, we just thank you, God, for your mercy, your grace, and your help in our time of need. Just minister to every single one. And Lord, touch our country, touch our nation, Lord. God, we just pray for your help and your healing of our country. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, the Bell Choir is going to come under the direction of our children's ministry, and particular director is Jessica Lance. And so they are coming at this time. They were supposed to come a couple of weeks ago, and then we had to put that off. So let's welcome our children's ministry Bell Choir this morning. Thank you. Great job, boys and girls. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you. Give them another hand as they head back to Children's Church this morning. Thank you, Jessica, for your leadership and all the helpers. Amen. Amen. We're going to watch a video here in just a moment, but take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1, and we'll be ready to read that in just a few moments.
Christmas presents are exciting. Do you remember what you'd say is the best gift you've ever received at Christmas? I asked my kids this question, and here's what they said. My 6-year-old loved her little talkie doll that could talk, blink, and not much else. Cost a whopping $110 after tax, and it lasted for a solid 8 months before it found its way to the back of her closet. My 9-year-old said his favorite was the popular fantasy book series, 6 books in all, each getting progressively longer. The set cost $58 and lasted 8 weeks before it lived its final dust-filled existence on a shelf. Now, my tween loved the Brainy Putty collection that cost $32 and lasted a measly 8 days before it went to live in our carpet. Finally, my teenage son wanted the ultimate drone with a 4K camera. It cost the most and lasted the shortest amount of time. I'd like to say it lasted 8 minutes, but no, it was 8 seconds, which is only impressive in bull riding. As exciting as those gifts are, what if there was a gift at Christmas that was far better? In fact, so much better that it makes these look like, well, toys. What if this gift was worth so much that no one could buy it for you, nor could you afford it? What if it was something of extreme value, like, say, life itself? And what if this gift was given through the birth of a baby who became our paid in full? That's the gift offered to all. It costs us nothing, him everything. It lasts just a bit longer than 8 seconds, 8 days, 8 weeks, or even 8 months. It lasts forever.
And that is why it is heaven's perfect gift. Actually, not an it. It's a person. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and many, many other titles that our Lord wears to show his all-surpassing grace and glory. Go to John 1 and let's look at a closer look at heaven's perfect gift. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everyone, to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." Father, we pray your help and your anointing to rest upon us today as we share this message you've laid upon our hearts. God, just open our hearts and our minds to your word today. In the name of Jesus, amen. First of all, heaven's perfect gift was coming. John 1:9, where we just read, says, "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." The prophets predicted it. Hundreds and hundreds of years before, they predicted that Jesus was coming. Genesis 3:15 was written by Moses about 1,500 years before Christ. And that verse says, "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." Also, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet about 700 years before Christ, wrote these words, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and they will give birth, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And then about 800 years before Christ, the prophet Micah wrote, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past." And these are just three prophecies. There are hundreds of prophecies about Christ. And you know, for all of these prophecies to be exactly fulfilled, the odds and the probability of that happening would be, for example, if you took a dime and you spray painted it red, and you threw it in the middle of an area the size of the world, or maybe even more than one world, and then you blindfolded a person, you ask him to go out and in one try pick up that red dime. The odds of that happening are incredible. And that's the odds of all the prophecies happening concerning Jesus' coming. It's an astronomical probability. But my mind thinks of this scripture: nothing is impossible with God. He defies all the odds. So not only did the prophets predict with supernatural accuracy the coming of Christ, preachers proclaimed it. As far back as Noah, it says in 2 Peter 3:5 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached for 100 years, and then all down through history, right up to the time of John the Baptist, who was also a preacher. John 1, 6 and 7 says, "God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony." And then John 1, 15, it says, "John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, 'This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.'" Between Noah and John the Baptist, God also preached through King David, through the various priests and other men and women right down through history, preaching that Jesus was coming, that a Messiah was coming, that heaven's perfect gift was coming. Yet while prophets predicted it and while preachers proclaimed it, there were people and principalities who provoked it. They didn't like that idea. Certain people, and certainly Satan himself, did not want Jesus to come. I think of Pharaoh, who tried to get rid of all the baby boys in an attempt to get rid of Moses. And we know God protected Moses, and He was hid, and then the Pharaoh's daughter ended up adopting Moses, and he was raised right under Pharaoh's nose and trained in all the ways of leadership that eventually allowed him to be Israel's deliverer and led them out of captivity in the Exodus out of Egypt. Satan has always done his best to try to defeat God and his plan. We know when Jesus was born, King Herod put out an edict that all children under 2 would have to be killed. So Satan again was trying to destroy God's plan and God's purpose. But guess what? He couldn't do it, could he? And he never will. God always has the last and the final word. Can you say amen? Heaven's perfect gift was coming because God so loved the world that he would give his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish and have everlasting life. So heaven's perfect gift was coming. Not only was heaven's perfect gift coming, secondly, heaven's perfect gift came. It came. Just as predicted and preached 1,500 years ago. John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says, he came into the world, very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. You know, have you ever thought about how disappointed the Lord must have been that the people, the very people that was his own, rejected him because God loved them so much? But I'm glad he didn't give up on us, aren't you? Jesus was the perfect gift and still is. He was perfect because, number one, he brought reconciliation. John 1:12 says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. We could be reconciled to God. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we can have peace with God. Just as Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. He was also the perfect gift because he brought rebirth. He brought reconciliation. He brought rebirth. John 1:13 says, they are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. We go from sin to salvation. We go from lost to being found. We go from blind to now seeing. We can have a rebirth. That's the perfect gift. Like the old gospel song says, I've been changed. I've been newborn now. All my life has been. You remember that song? All my life has what? Been what? Rearranged. There we go. What a difference it made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Oh, yes, I've been changed. How many of you have experienced that change? Hallelujah. You've been reborn. You've been changed. You're not the same person you used to be. You have different desires now. You do different things on Sunday now than what you used to do. Amen. You get up and come to church. Before, you used to lay in bed and watch ESPN or something like that. But now you have a new desire. You want to be in the house of God. You want to come and sing his praises. You want to come and listen to the word of God proclaimed. You want to come and pray and fellowship, and you want to serve and help with Christmas in the Hood and the live nativity and teach and work in Sunday school and nursery and Royal Rangers and girls ministries and do all kinds of things because your life has changed. Your desires are changed. You are born again. He brought us rebirth. Not only did Christ bring us reconciliation and rebirth, he also brought us revelation. John 1:18 declares, no one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Jesus came to reveal God the Father. Jesus came in the flesh to show us what God is like. because we've never seen God. We wouldn't know what God is like, but Jesus came to reveal him. We can come to know the Father's heart as we look at the life of Jesus. We can come to know that he is a God of grace. Amen? Amazing grace. He went to great lengths to save you, to send down the Savior, to send down heaven's perfect gift. He went to great lengths to be able to take you to heaven when you die. He came to show us the faithfulness of God. As you look back over your life, can you see God's faithfulness? Can you see his hand upon you? He came to show us his provision. Has God ever provided for you in some way? Ever met a need for you? Ever prayed a prayer and he came through? He came to show us his healing. The Lord heals. I am the God that healeth thee. Jesus went around doing good and healing the sick, and he still heals today. He came to show us his strength. You ever felt weak and yet the Lord gives you strength? He came to show us his power. He came to show us his love. There's all kinds of things. We could go on and on that Jesus came to reveal God the Father to us. He brought revelation. That's why he's the perfect gift. He's prepared a place for us. And so many other things that we can spend eternity discovering. Heaven's perfect gift came. And in the words of the story of the Grinch, it came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. He came. I just had to throw that in. Jesus came, heaven's perfect gift. Jesus grew up and he taught us how to live. He taught us how to love. He taught us how to learn and grow in our relationship with the Lord. He showed us how to pray. He showed us how to forgive. He showed us how to love our enemies. He showed us how to serve one another. He grew up and he gave his life on the cross. He showed us how to die. And he showed us that one day, because he rose again on the third day, we can live again. Death is not the final place that we're going to spend forever just dead. I want to tell you, there is life after death. Our grave is not the end. Really, it's just the beginning for those who know Christ. Just the beginning. And that leads to the last point. Heaven's perfect gift not only was coming, and not only did heaven's perfect gift came, but heaven's perfect gift is coming again. He came just as he said. He came just as hundreds of prophecies predicted. And you know what? For as many prophecies that predicted that he was coming the first time, there's just as many that say he's coming back a second time. There may be variations of opinion as to exactly how that looks and how it exactly what that will happen, but the main thing is true. Heaven's perfect gift is coming again. John chapter 14, Jesus himself said it like this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. Jesus himself said, I will come and get you. We need to trust his promises. We need to trust his promise. You can take that to the bank, like they say. When Jesus said it, you can believe it. You can count on it. We can trust him. We don't have to let our hearts be troubled. We live in days where our hearts can be certainly troubled as we see all that's happening in our land. But in Jesus, we can take comfort. We can take courage. We can trust heaven's perfect gift. Amen. We can trust his promises. Secondly, we can take comfort in his place. We can take comfort in his place. Lots of room in his house. Heaven is for real. He went to prepare a place for us. I think it's going to be a real cool place. Cool as in neat, not as in temp wise. I think it's going to be the perfect temperature year round. Whatever it is, the Bible says eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and neither have we even imagined all that God has prepared for those who love him, for those who serve him, for those who stand for him, for those who are thankful for heaven's perfect gift. Something better is coming. I heard the story, you may have heard it, about the lady who told her pastor. She said, "Pastor, I have a favor to ask of you." He said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, when I die, I want you to do my funeral." He said, "Well, okay." He said, "But I have a condition. When I die and you do my funeral, I want you to put a fork in my hand to where I'm holding the fork." He thought, that's kind of weird. He goes, "May I ask why you want to be holding a fork in your casket?" She said, "Well, you know, when you go to a dinner at someone's house and you have the main meal and everything, then they say, 'Save your fork.' You know that something better is coming. And when people walk by my casket and look in at my body and they see that fork, I want them to be reminded that something better is coming." Hallelujah. Heaven's perfect gift is coming back again. Glory to God. His timing is perfect. Trust his promises, take comfort in his place, and his timing is perfect. It says in verse 3, when everything is ready. When everything is ready. You know, I think the only reason why the Lord is really holding back his coming is because he wants more and more people to get ready and receive him and not be lost. The Bible says in 2 Peter, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I think the only reason he hasn't already come back is because there are more and more people that are getting saved and that are getting ready. And I don't think he wants to lose one. But there will come a time when that will be the case. Let's think about your life. What if the Lord would have come back in 2018, 2 years ago? What if the rapture would have took place 2 years ago? Is there anybody here in this place that you wouldn't have been ready? Aren't you glad the Lord held off another 2 years to where you could hear the gospel, to where you could pray the prayer, where you could come down for repentance? Aren't you glad the Lord in his great mercy and grace held off to get you ready? Well, I'm convinced this morning that in a couple years from now, should the Lord tarry, there's going to be more people that will have gotten ready. That right now, this morning, they are at home sleeping in bed watching ESPN. They are doing something besides in church. They aren't ready. They have no rebirth experience. They haven't been reconciled to God. They aren't trusting in his promises. They're lost. But if we will do our job and get the word out and witness to people and tell people and show people God's love, maybe some of them will get saved. Because there will come a day, a moment, as the Apostle Paul describes in 1 Thessalonians 4, and as Noah found out when he built the ark, there did come a day when God shut the door. You ever notice that Noah didn't shut the door? If you read that story closely, Noah didn't shut the door. He didn't holler at Shem, Ham, or Japheth, "Hey, boys, go shut the door." No, it doesn't say that. It says God shut the door. Because God made the decision when the time was up. And the same thing's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Jesus will be coming back again. Heaven's perfect gift was predicted. Heaven's perfect gift came. And heaven's perfect gift is coming back again. Are you ready? In conclusion, as the musicians come, let me share with you a classic Christmas story. I had never heard of this story until about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and R.J. Bird asked me if I had ever heard the story of Paul Harvey and the Birds. How many of you have heard the story of Paul Harvey and the Birds? Well, I see one or two hands. I hadn't either. So in preparation for the message today, this week, I thought, I'm going to look that up. You see, in the book of Job, we are told that we can learn from the most unlikely sources, the animals on the earth. Paul Harvey's heartwarming message, The Man and the Bird, certainly does that. It is a rich story with eternal implications. Remember last Sunday I told you the story about George Washington Carver and how in Job, one of his favorite verses was Job 12, where it talks about that we can learn from the birds of the sky and from the animals and they will teach you. Well, that's exactly what this story is about. Job 12:7 says, ask the birds of the sky and they will tell you. So here's the story originally told by Paul Harvey. The man to whom I'm going to introduce to you was not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, mostly good man. Generous to his family, upright in his dealings with other men. But he just didn't believe all that incarnation stuff which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. I'm truly sorry to distress you, he told his wife, but I'm not going with you to church this Christmas Eve. He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather stay at home, but that he would wait up for them. And so he stayed, and they went to the midnight service. Shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier, and then went back to his fireside chair and began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, then another, and then another, sort of a thump or a thud. At first, he thought someone must be throwing snowballs against his living room window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They'd been caught in the storm and in a desperate search for shelter, had tried to fly through the large landscape window. Well, he couldn't let the poor creatures lie there and freeze, so he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter if he could direct the birds to it. Quickly, he put on a coat, galoshes, tramped through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the doors wide and turned on a light. But the birds did not come in. He figured food would entice them, so he hurried back to the house, fetched some breadcrumbs, sprinkled them on the snow, making a trail to the yellow-lighted, wide-open doorway of the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs and continued to flap around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around waving his arms. Instead, they scattered in every direction except into the warm, lighted barn. And then he realized that They were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, I am a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know they can trust me. That I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? Because any move he made tended to frighten them, confuse them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. If only I could be a bird, he thought to himself, and mingle with them and speak their language, then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to the safe, warm barn. But I would have to be one of them so they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind, and he stood there listening to the bells pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees in the snow. Heaven's perfect gift is Jesus. He came down to our level when we couldn't get up to his. He came down, became a man, to speak our language, to show us how to get to heaven, how to find hope, and how to find healing for our souls. He's here for you today. You watching by the internet, he's here for you this Christmas Sunday. I can tell you he's the best present you could ever receive. He's heaven's perfect gift, the best gift of all. He'll never wear out. He'll never get old. He'll never break. He'll last forever. I challenge you to open your heart today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you came to show us the way. You came to give us life and life more abundantly. You came to forgive us of our sins and prepare for us a place in heaven. Oh, Father God, I pray if there's one here today or there's one listening over the internet, Lord, that you would touch their heart even this moment. Holy Spirit, speak to them and let them know that you love them, that you died for them, that you are the best present they could ever receive. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, I just want to give an invitation that if you don't know the Lord today, if you don't know him, if you've walked away from him, if you've turned your back on him and you want to come back to him today, today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. You're talking to me today. You're talking to me today. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. Lord, I don't see any hands raised today, but only you know the hearts of people. There may be somebody who wanted to raise their hand, who knew they should have raised their hand because they aren't ready, but I pray that you would speak to their heart. I pray, Father God, that they would say yes to the best present of all. That they would turn their heart and their life and their future over to you because you have great, awesome, wonderful plans that will last forever for their life. We thank you, Jesus. This praise team is going to sing a song, and I just like for you, if you need prayer this morning, if you want a prayer for salvation or healing or whatever, myself, Pastor Phil, will be down here. We will pray for you as they sing, and then we're going to dismiss. Ask the Lord what you can do for him. Thank you, Lord.
One with God the Lord.
Name it is, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The scripture says that at the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That the name of Jesus, there is healing. That the name of Jesus, there is deliverance. That at the name of Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. Have you ever been in those moments where you just cried out and you said the name Jesus, Jesus. It works. It works. It works. That's what this season's all about, is Jesus. Would you just raise your hands? Lord, we just raise our hands this morning and we just surrender to your name, to the name of Jesus. And Lord, we dedicate all that we do to you. Lord, we thank you that in our time of trouble, that you, Jesus, came to deliver. That in our time of sickness, that you, Jesus, came to heal. That in our time of loss and depression, Lord, you came to bring joy. And you came to give back what was lost. Lord, we thank you for the service today. We thank you that you were the greatest gift that ever came. And you're the greatest gift that's ever going to come again. And until that time, may souls be saved. May people come to know the name of Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. We'd love for you to sign up for the live nativity. Have a wonderful Christmas season with your family, and we'll see you next Sunday morning. Amen.